Kiddos, thanks for coming up this morning and doing that for us and sharing. Thank you, Brian and Gina. Well, it is great to see you this morning. There's a few faces that I haven't gotten to see in a while, and so super awesome to see you today. And if you're visiting family today and you're here, we're grateful. Want to wish you a happy Resurrection Sunday, otherwise known as Easter. As I get started here, you can turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. That's where we're going to be first. By the way, before we jump into that, we do have a little Easter egg hunt out directly outside in the grass right after service for the children, and so a few are helping with that. Listen. You know what? I was thinking as we were. I like to get a little bit loud about Jesus. Okay, if you don't like it, if that's not your thing, then that's your thing. Then but I was thinking, you know what? There's no hype in this. There's no hype in that we get loud and celebrate on Easter, because you know what? Do you know that when Jesus died, the moment that Jesus died, the veil was torn? And do you know that what happened also? A whole bunch of dead people were raised from the grave when Jesus died. That doesn't even make sense to me. But there's no hype in that kind of power, is my point. And today we're going to talk some more about that power, the power of Jesus Christ and the power of God in our lives. And I want to help you to understand the resurrection, the significance of the resurrection today. But before we jump into that, I want to point out that Jesus was, and his disciples were going to Jerusalem to celebrate what was called the Passover, or also known as the Festival of Unleavened Bread. And if you don't understand what that is, I want to try to help explain it to you. That the Passover celebration went back all the way to Exodus, when God's people Israel were in slavery in Egypt. And so, if you'll recall the Old Testament account, the people, they were slaves in Egypt. They were doing all kinds of work. You remember they were making those bricks, and they, God called Moses and said, "Moses, I want you to go and ask Pharaoh," who was the king of Egypt, "go ask Pharaoh, tell him that I said to let my people go." And Pharaoh's like, "No." So God kept having Moses go back. It happened like 9 times, okay? And that last time, and God would send plagues every time. Plague, all different kinds of plagues. There was frogs everywhere. How fun would that be? Gnats everywhere. And just different things like that. Turned water to blood. God was proving his power there. Okay? And what he was in reality doing was conquering the gods of the land, is what was really going on. But here at the end, God says, "Moses, tell Pharaoh once again to let my people go." Moses delivers the message, and Pharaoh says, "Uh-uh." Moses said, "But God said, if you don't, this time he's going to take your firstborn children, your firstborn sons." Moses still says no. So what happens? God sends a death angel. But what God had said through Moses, he said, have my people, have the Israelites sacrifice a lamb. And take the blood from that sacrifice, take the blood from that lamb, and take a hyssop branch, and you're gonna paint that blood, put some of that blood on the doorpost of your home. And when my death angel comes, then the death angel will recognize the blood and will pass over that house. That's how it got its name. The death angel will pass over that house and won't take the life of the firstborn son. Pretty serious business, isn't it? And so, for God's people, Israel, the angel passed over because they applied the blood of the Lamb. And so that's what Jesus and his disciples and many others went to Jerusalem to celebrate. Okay? So they went to celebrate the Passover. And so it's interesting to note that Jesus became that Passover Lamb for us. Okay? So when we apply the blood of Jesus, the blood of that Lamb, to our hearts, The wood door signifies the cross, and when we apply the blood of Christ to our lives, guess what? and the Lord passes over us, and his blessings will remain. Okay? And so I'm just trying to set that up for you today to help you. And this morning, I want to help you to answer, and I want to help you to see the significance of why Jesus was resurrected, the significance of his resurrection. So the first thing it was to prove that Jesus was the only way to heaven, to prove that Jesus was the one and only Son of God. That is one of the reasons of the resurrection of Jesus Christ that we celebrate today. Another reason was that the resurrection helped break the power over death. Also, the resurrection helps us understand that his power can work in us as well. Okay? So we're gonna look at the passage in Matthew chapter 28, starting in verse 1, and then I have three or four verses after we're done with this passage that I want to show you that help bring those points about. So Matthew 28, verse 1 says, the scripture says, early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning. Notice it says new day. I hope and my prayer is that today will be a new day for some of you. So because you've given your heart to Jesus Christ, I'm believing that someone's going to give their heart to Christ today. And you might already know that today's your day. You might be saying, you know what, I think I'm going to make that decision today. Oh, if the pastor worded it just right. It's not about the pastor. It's all about Jesus. But I hope that today is going to be a new day for some of you. Or maybe you're listening at home. I hope today is going to be a new day for you and with a new life. See, early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, there's two ladies, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, went out to visit the tomb. They wanted to go and see where Jesus was buried, and they wanted to get in there and just... Basically, they were ministering to his body. And so in verse 2, it says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake. As these two ladies were on their way to the tomb, suddenly there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord. Raise your hand if you've seen an angel. Me neither. And I think that might be a good thing, in some ways at least. For an angel of the Lord came down from heaven. And I'll get back to that in a minute. But look at what the angel did. The angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone. See, it's not there anymore. This is their tomb. It's empty. The stone has been rolled away. The angel rolled that stone away. Now, no one of the other gospels says it was a very large stone. Why? Why was it large? They did not want somebody to take Jesus' body and then perpetuate a lie that Jesus was raised when in reality someone stole it. Okay, so the religious leaders of the day who were involved in killing Jesus, they wanted a big stone placed there. There was also two guards. Okay, they did not want anyone stealing Jesus' body. So this angel comes down from heaven and says, bloop, and rolls the stone away. He tosses it away, and then he sits on it to kind of celebrate his defeating that stone, you know. And so Jesus, what I want to point out right now is, I believe that there might be some things in your life that are like the stone that kept the ladies from seeing Jesus. In reality, when they got there, it was removed already. But what is in your life that is keeping you from seeing Jesus? What is in the way? What is it that you are not strong enough to move on your own? You see, we can't fix ourselves. Oh, there are self-help books. I'm just not totally into that. Because Jesus, to me, is the only help. Jesus, matter of fact, I go back 20 years or more to a little lady we called Mama Hug. And Mama Hug, I remember very clearly, she said, there is no healing outside of the cross. There is no healing outside of the cross of Jesus Christ. So in other words, I can't fix myself. You can't fix yourself. We need Jesus. We have to run to the cross where he laid his life down for us. We run to the cross and lay our lives down to him and give them to him. And then he helps us to overcome those things. He helps us and he can remove that thing out of the way. Another thing, I think that there's things in life that get in our way, but sometimes we build our own walls up. We do that to protect ourselves. But usually it doesn't end up helping us. It only ends up hurting us, because then we can't get out anymore. We're stuck in a box. We're stuck in our own living grave when we build our own walls and keep bad things out. And I'm not saying not to use wisdom in how we live, but I'm saying sometimes we'll carefully construct a wall so that nobody can get to our heart. And I think that Jesus wants, like that stone, I think he wants to demolish that and let those walls come down. Kind of like the walls of Jericho, right? So whatever that's speaking to for you, allow the Holy Spirit to deal with. Allow him to do that. I think that the Holy Spirit wants to remove that stone, that heavy thing that you can't move on your own, or maybe it's something that you even created in your own life. Allow him to take that away, demolish that, so that you can come to Christ, so that you can. And a lot of times we build walls so that we're not vulnerable to people. Jesus was pretty vulnerable, wasn't he? He gave up his entire life and let go and let them nail him to a cross and let them put him up, even though he was completely innocent. It's incredible, isn't he? Isn't it? That he would do such a thing. So I encourage you today to have faith and let God. You ask God to do whatever it is that you need him to do today. Allow him to help you. Allow him to help you fight whatever that thing is that you've been fighting for years. And surrender to him. Lay it down at Jesus' feet and allow him to help you to overcome it. Because you see, he's the overcomer. He's the worthy one. He's the miracle worker. He was in the days that the Bible was written, and he is today still. He's the miracle worker. Let's look at verse 3. Talking about the angel still, it said that his face, that angel's face, shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. And as I mentioned this in the first message this morning in our first service, I'm trying to figure out why we're talking about an angel and not still talking about Jesus here in this verse. But I think it might have to do with, you know what, that angel was pretty incredible himself. And if an angel is pretty cool, how about the one who created the angels, Jesus Christ? Again, there's no hype in this. He's worthy of hype. He's worthy of us lifting our voices. He's worthy of us raising our hands because he's the one who he created life and then he defeated death. Hallelujah. Verse 4, the guards shook with fear. Told you there was two guards protecting the body of Jesus. So the angel comes in. He doesn't touch the guards. He just rolls that stone away. And then the guards here, it says, they shook with fear when they saw him. That's what I meant a while ago. And it might be a good thing that you haven't seen an angel. Because almost every time that you see an angel, something like this happens. The guards shook with fear when they saw the angel. And they fell into a dead faint. These guards evidently passed out. Interesting, isn't it? These guards passed out, and so now, in verse 5, the angel begins to speak to the two ladies who did not pass out. God got rid of the problems. Amen? But look what the angel says to these two ladies. This is something that angels say very often. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And today, I'm going to say the same thing to you. Don't be afraid. I'm talking to the person who's like, I don't know if I can trust Jesus. I don't know if I can trust him with my life. I don't know what he's going to ask me to do if I give him my heart. I don't know what he's going to do. Today I said, don't be afraid. Like this angel told these two ladies. Don't be afraid. It's worth the step of faith. It's worth it. It's the best decision you'll ever make, I promise. I've never regretted surrendering my life to Jesus. Not even for a second. Because he's a worthy Savior. He's a risen Savior. Look at what the angel says after he says, don't be afraid. He says, ladies, I know who you're looking for. I know why you're here. You're looking for Jesus. Look at these last three words up there. Who was crucified? The angel testifies that Jesus died. But that's not all. Okay, that's important because, you see, some say that Jesus, you know, maybe he wasn't dead when they buried him. And he just kind of came back to life he did come back to life because he was dead. How do we know that? Well, one, the angel tells us right here. Number two, the Roman soldier who was there while Jesus was hanging on the cross. You guys remember this part of the story? He takes his spear, and what does he do? He sticks him in the side. I might be pointing at the wrong side. He gets him in the side, and whatever he hits, the water came out of his body when they pierced Jesus then. He was already dead. They knew he was dead because water came out. That was what signified that, okay, he's dead. I don't have to break his legs. Okay? So go back and check that stuff out if you're not sure. Go check that out. And so the angel says, guys, ladies, I know who you're looking for. You're looking for Jesus who was crucified. They did bury his dead body in the tomb. But look what else the angel says on the next slide. He isn't here. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Right? He is not here. He's risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come see where his body was lying. You come in, come on in here. I'll let you see. I'll let you look. You can see where his body was. There was probably bloodstains still there. I want to try to reword what the angel said in my words. The angel basically said, hey, come see where he was, but he is no longer. He is risen. He's alive again. Didn't he tell you this was going to happen? And he had a handful of times. And they were too busy, consumed, whatever, with other things that he couldn't quite see it. Or they couldn't quite hear it at the time. But afterwards, they're like, wow. Okay? Didn't he tell you it was going to happen? And now in verse 7, and now the angel tells these ladies, and now go quickly to tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and he is going ahead of you into Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you. Now let me also point out that we know that the scripture tells us that 500 people saw the resurrected Savior after he was raised. He ended up appearing to over 500 people. That's pretty cool, isn't it? So we know it wasn't just 12 people that got together and said, oh yeah, let's just keep this, see how long we can keep this lie going. No, it wasn't a lie to begin with. Everybody saw that he was dead. And then the guards tried to cover it up with a lie. The religious leaders tried to bribe them with some money to cover it up and say, oh yeah, somebody stole it. It wasn't stolen. That's why Jesus has been changing lives ever since this happened. He's a life transformer. Praise God. He changes lives. He delivers. He sets free. He brings healing. He changes hearts. He says, remember what I told you. Then in verse 8, the women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy. Imagine having both of those emotions going on at the same time. Like, really scared and wondering what in the world is going on, but also full of joy. Interesting. But also filled with great joy. And they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. Interesting, isn't it? And it's wonderful what God does. He is working. He's using these ladies right here to go and tell the disciples, not the other way around. Ladies are important. We are grateful. We are grateful to the Lord for his resurrection. And now I want to take you to Romans chapter 1, verse 4, and I want to begin to show you what the significance of Jesus being raised from the dead is. And he was shown to be the Son of God when he was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is Jesus Christ, our Lord. This verse helps us to understand. Paul wrote this verse to the Romans, and he said, guys, this is super important that you understand that Jesus was raised from the dead because it proves that he was the Son of God. So then, in essence, everything that Jesus ever said in the past or ever would say, that his resurrection, that he was raised from the dead, would prove that he was the Son of God and validate everything he ever did or said. Can you see that? Does that make sense to you today? That this, him being raised from the dead, because he said it would happen, him being raised from the dead would prove that and give validity to everything else that he did and said. What are some of the things that he did? He healed the lame. He opened blind eyes. He delivered people of evil spirits. He raised the dead himself. I can remember three accounts that Jesus of the dead that Jesus raised. And then all the stories, all the parables, all the things that he told about, oh, the kingdom of heaven is like this. And those stories, those accounts that he tells, him being raised back to life again, only gives validity to every single thing that he'd ever did or said or ever would say. It was important that Jesus not only died, but that he was raised from the dead. Let's look also. You know, because Jesus went to the cross. He went to the cross to take our sins upon himself. And he went to the cross to defeat that, those sins. And to defeat that, he died. But you see, if he hadn't been raised from the dead, none of it would have mattered. But because he not only died, but because he was raised to life also, there is much power in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm talking amazing kind of power. That even he defeated death completely. But what? How come we all looked at, there's a chance that we each one may die? Well, because we don't have the full understanding then of it. Because he saves us from a spiritual death. Okay? So, let's look also at Acts chapter 2 and verse 24. But God released him, that's Jesus, but God released Jesus from the horrors of death and raised him back to life. Hallelujah. God released him from the horrors of death and raised him back to life, for death could not keep him in its grip. I kind of liken it to a mouse trying to tame an elephant. Let's say a mouse had a lasso, a rope, and tried to lasso an elephant, and how long do you think that mouse is going to be able to hold on to that rope? Not very long. And that's not probably even a very good analogy. Because Jesus is the ultimate power and the ultimate authority. How do I know that? Because the Bible tells us, in particular Colossians, tells us that Jesus was there when everything was created. So we're talking about Jesus being part of God the Father. We call it the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Okay, all one God. They have three distinct persons, three distinct roles. And so what you have is you have Jesus was there, and he was part of creating everything. The world that you see, he made it out of nothing. He didn't borrow it. He didn't borrow the elements from someone else in someplace else. He created everything. Everything that we see. He is the ultimate power and the ultimate authority. But we're so slow to come to him when we have a problem. Death could not hold Jesus. The thing that we fear probably the most. Death. Jesus was able to break death's teeth. Bust death's teeth and bust out of there. Death could not hold him down. He conquered death. He conquered the grave so that you and I could as well. See, when we, and a matter of fact, I'll take you there. The next verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20, will help us to gain a little bit of understanding on this. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. Apparently there was some doubt. Some didn't know that Jesus was in reality raised. And Paul writes, guys, it happened. It happened. Matter of fact, Jesus appeared to Paul and revolutionized Paul's life to the point where he wrote nearly two-thirds of the New Testament. And so Paul says, guys, it really happened. As a matter of fact, it sure did. And then he goes on, he says, he, that's Jesus, is the first. Everybody say first. Okay, great, you're paying attention. That's usually a test that the speaker gives to make sure that y'all are awake and listening. He is, that's Jesus, he is the first, say first. Okay, I didn't lose you yet. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. He's the first of a harvest. See, Jesus died and was raised and resurrected, raised back to life. And so you and I, when we die, with this body is our time in this body is over, guess what? Our spirit still lives. And so Jesus is going to resurrect us and give us a heavenly body. That's exciting, isn't it? Where you won't have any pain at all. And you might be younger. Isn't that exciting too? I don't know how all that goes exactly. But that would be exciting. See, Jesus, since he was raised, we also will be raised. And as a minister of the gospel, when I do a funeral, it is so much simpler when I know that someone, the person that I'm doing the funeral for, was a follower, a devout lover of Jesus. Because I know then that there is hope. It's called the blessed hope. It's called that hope of heaven, that hope that they knew Jesus and they're going to be with him forever. Okay? But when I have done funerals where I wasn't sure, because I've been asked to do funerals that I didn't know the person at all, so I'm not always sure. Those are just a little bit more difficult. But whenever I know that they've been a follower and a servant of Jesus Christ, there is that hope in me, and some of it is exciting because I know that they're with the Lord. And that's the key. So you see, the resurrection of Jesus Christ not only gives us the hope that we will live again and be resurrected like Jesus was, but again, his resurrection points back to, it proves that he is the Son of God, the one and only Son of God. And it also points back, let me mention this to you, John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said this. And again, it's validated because of the resurrection. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So in other words, none of us can ever get to heaven by enough good works. We can only get to heaven because of the sacrifice that Jesus made in us, placing our faith and hope in him. It's that simple, ladies and gentlemen. We have to place our faith and trust in him. You cannot get to heaven without that. I can't make that clear enough. You cannot get to heaven. I cannot get to heaven because there's a pastor in front of my name. I only can get to heaven because I place faith and trust in Jesus. And the same goes for each and every one of us. Not because we're Americans, not because this or because of that, but because we place faith and trust in Jesus. And part of that is believing that he died for your sins and was raised to life. There, our faith needs to be in that stuff. That's why today's such a big, important, and special day. So we have hope that Jesus is going to raise us from the dead. And so I also want to mention to you Romans chapter 8, verse 11. The Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. Do you hear that? If you're a follower of Christ, the Holy Spirit lives in you. Now, I want to encourage you to be filled with the Holy Spirit as well. That's a distinct and separate thing from salvation. I want to encourage you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But this, my Bible says that the Holy Spirit's the one who raised Jesus from the dead. And if I'm filled with the Holy Spirit and I've got the Spirit of God in me, then guess what? To the way I see it, the sky's the limit. Then as far as I'm concerned, or as you're concerned, if you're a follower of Christ, then the Holy Spirit lives in you and can do anything and everything through you. Yeah. Don't you want the Holy Spirit to do stuff through you? Don't you want to allow God to be glorified through your life? Just yield to him. Just yield to him. Say, Lord, I'm yours. My life is yours. I give it to you. Here I am. Here I am. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my life. I'm going to ask my wife to come up to the keyboard. Looks like she might have to move it again. But you see, we've got to give our hearts to Jesus. If he was raised back to life, if he's the one who created life and then gave himself for the life he created, don't you think he's worthy of you and I following him? Don't you think that he's worthy of us surrendering, sacrificing, and doing whatever he wants us to do? He is, church. He is worthy. There is no other. Matter of fact, Paul wrote in Philippians that Jesus has the name that's above every other name. There's no other name given to men by which we may be saved. There's no one else. There's no other way. There's no other path. It all points to Jesus. Today, as she's going to begin to play, I'm going to ask you to bow your hearts. And I'm going to ask this morning that maybe the Holy Spirit's been tugging on your heart in something that's been said, maybe a scripture that was read or even something else. Maybe you realize that there's a stone in your way that's keeping you from Jesus and you need him to remove it. Maybe it's a wall that you've built up yourself to try to protect yourself, but you realize that it's faulty. Or maybe you just haven't ever placed faith and trust in Jesus at all. And you haven't surrendered your life to him. And today you want to give your heart because you want that salvation. You want that freedom that he brings. You want when this life is over to be with him forever. If that's you, and you've not been living for Christ, and you want to make that decision to serve him, I'm just going to ask you to slip up your hand just high enough so I can see it. When I acknowledge it, you can put it down. That's me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. I've not been living for him, but today I give him my heart. I give him my life. If that's you, just slip up your hand. I see that. Yeah, is there someone else? Is there someone else? Lord, I need you. I need you to forgive me. I need you to cleanse me. That's the reason you went to the cross. But then, Lord, I need you to give me the power to overcome. That's why you were raised from the dead. Is there anyone else? Today can be your new day. Today can be your new day. This morning, it's important that we understand the significance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. See, because he had the power to overcome, he gives us the same power. He helps us to overcome whatever is going on in our lives. Sin, the sins that so easily beset us, whatever it is that the enemy uses to bring against us or attack us, Jesus wants to give us power to either overcome completely or endure, which is still overcoming. I rejoice in the goodness of God today. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for each and every heart, each and every person, each and every family. God, I ask today that you would just continue. Let this message, let the resurrection of Jesus continue to soak into our heart and our understanding. That we would walk around as believers that are full of power because of the power of the Holy Spirit, because we understand the power of the resurrection. God, I thank you for your wisdom. I thank you for your word. And I ask, God, that you would pour out your life and your spirit in each one of us. Holy Spirit, would you continue to tug on our hearts and draw us to yourself, that we might honor you and bring glory to you every single day. Father, I ask that you would change us on the inside, that you would make us who you want us to be. I thank you, Father, for loving us right where we are. But I ask, God, that you would continue to move us and change us so that we become more and more like you. I thank you for each and every person, God. May your hand be upon them to lead them and to guide them. God, I ask that you go with them today. May your blessing be upon them as they enjoy time with family. We give you all the praise today, God. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we got one last song, and then we'll be dismissed. Go ahead and stand back up if you can. You can get loud. Don't feel ashamed. You can get loud and celebrate Jesus.
For the kids, and so there are downstairs, there are baskets for them to use. If you want to just wait for them to come upstairs, then you can grab them as they are going out to hunt for eggs. There are lots of eggs out there, so it might, hopefully it won't take them too long, but I'm sure they'll be fast at picking them all up.